Good afternoon and welcome back. Episode 17 of In the Corner is here. I'm Cash. Let's get right into it. We got a big weekend of combat sports coming up and a lot of news to discuss. So let's just hop right into it. First up, we're going to talk about Dennis Baranchuk, Keyshawn Davis. So what's good about this weekend is that there's no small card per se. You know, usually we'll have some like smaller ones with not as big names on it, you know, and not as not a big platform. It's all big time this week. The first of which is on Friday, and this is probably the biggest fight of the weekend, I think. Maybe. I'm not sure about that, but it could be. And that is the WBO World Lightweight Championship between Dennis Baranchuk, who is 19-0, and Keyshawn Davis, who is 12-0. So Keyshawn, as I'm sure everybody knows, is a big American star. He gets his first world title shot tonight. He's definitely like a big favorite going into this fight. Personally, I don't think that he's as big a favorite as he should be. I saw something today that he's at like over an 80% chance to win. I don't think that that's the case. I think Dennis Baranchuk is a very good fighter. We saw him and Emmanuel Navarrete last May. I know that Navarrete was moving up, but everybody thought Navarrete was going to totally win. Same thing. And Baranchuk won. And it was a very close fight, but I thought that Baranchuk definitely won, and I think everybody thinks so. But, you know, I mean, this guy's got upset in him. And he is the defending world champion. He is the more experienced fighter. But Keyshawn is probably the more talented, the more skilled, fighter, the younger of the two as well. So I'm really excited for this fight. You know, it's been heating up quite well. As I'm sure everybody's seen by now, Baranchuk sent Keyshawn, or we were led to believe that Baranchuk led Keyshawn a racist package to his hotel room with bananas and a watermelon in it. And Keyshawn was understandably not happy about it and was calling him out at the press conference. Then we were seen on X, Teofimo Lopez posted a video of him eating a banana laughing watching it. So it was not Baranchuk who sent it. It was Teofimo. I thought it was Baranchuk at first, but I kind of had my doubts because it didn't seem in his character. Definitely seems in Teofimo's character. I mean, is it mastermind games to be like, you know, doing this and setting up Keyshawn to make him think his opponent is doing it and throwing him off? Yeah, it is. But it's also like totally racist and unacceptable, and it's not funny. So I didn't like I didn't think that anybody, regardless if you're fighting him or not, should be sending those packages. You know, it's awful. But I mean, I guess Teofimo thinks he's got to market himself. He's gotten himself into racist things before and just doesn't seem to get in trouble for it, which I don't understand. But anyways, I'm really excited for this fight. I'm really excited for this fight card. This fight card is phenomenal. We know that Tiger Johnson is missing weight. His opponent missed weight, so he's not going to be fighting this weekend. Apparently, he was moving up to welterweight. I did not know that. But his opponent was not able to make the weight, so he's off the card. And that's probably the fight I was least interested in. There's still 9 other fights on this card. It's a very big top-ranked card. It opens up with Juanmita Lopez, I think is his name. I'll pull it up, but you know, he's a highly touted amateur. Yeah, Juanma Lopez de Jesus. He makes his pro debut tonight, super flyweight. We've also got Keyshawn Davis, the younger brother of Keyshawn, and Kyrone Davis. Or no, is that right? No, Kyrone Davis is another fighter. It's, what's the other one's name? I, for some reason, cannot remember the name of the third brother. It's Kelvin Davis, isn't it? Yeah, it's Kelvin Davis. Kelvin's not fighting tonight. I'm not sure why, but Keyshawn is. He makes his second fight. Nico Ollie Walsh is on the card, which, by the way, he needs to go up from 6 rounders. He keeps on fighting 6 rounders. He's at 11. This is his 12th pro fight. He needs to go up to 8. You got Abdullah Mason. Fantastic, fantastic prospect. You know, maybe the best prospect in the sport of boxing. I bet he's going to get another very early stoppage against Manuel Jaimes, who's a very good opponent. This guy went, did he go 10 rounds with Rolly? He fought Rolly in his last outing. He went all 10 rounds with him. He didn't win, but, I mean, still. Went 10 rounds with Rolly Romero, who's a big power puncher. And now he's in with Abdullah Mason, who's a much bigger power puncher. So if Mason, you know, can get this stoppage win in good fashion, unsimilar to the last time where he had some big diversity, I mean, that's a huge statement. And, you know, off to the big leagues for this kid. I would not like to wait around. I mean, I feel like we have, what is he? Is he 16-0 now? Yeah, he's 16-0. Probably after tomorrow, he'll be 17-0. I say you throw him in a 10-rounder next. Co-main event on an ESPN card. Or ESPN Plus card, whatever. But he's really good. You know, just fantastic fighter. Rohan Polanco, who is very fun to watch. He's in with John Carlos Torres in a 10-rounder. You know, I think that Polanco will also likely get a finish. He's been in very good form recently. Yeah, he's a very impressive fighter. So I would love to see, him get a good win. Then you've got Vito Melnicki Jr., who opens up the ESPN portion of the card. He's in with Conor Coyle, who's undefeated. That's a really good fight at middleweight. Melnicki did just move up. This is his middleweight debut. They were setting up a fight with him and Xander Zayas, which I would have loved to see. No longer same division. But I think this is still a really good competitive fight. I think Melnicki will probably take it, but this is going to be a really big test for him. You know, he's already come up short in his career once. I believe that there was something about some kind of injury in that fight, but that was, 4 years ago. He lost an 8-rounder by majority decision to James Martin. You know, so hopefully he'll be able to get the win tomorrow night. But Coyle, is a very good fighter. I believe he was supposed to fight Emma Williams. Not sure why that didn't happen, but yeah, this should be a good one. I forgot to mention on the ESPN Plus, which I would just assume has to be the last one. This should really be the ESPN opener. Jared Anderson returns after his first professional defeat to Martin Bacoli on the Riyadh Season LA card last August. He's in with Marios Kolias, who's 12-3-1. You know, I think this is very much just like a, time for Big Baby to get out there, get a good stoppage win, feel confident, and then, start moving him back up towards that world title shot. But, we're just going to have to see where his head's at, because he got beaten, in not great fashion last time. So, we'll just see. But he's a very good heavyweight prospect. They jumped the gun too early with him, but I assume that he'll get a good stoppage tomorrow. Xander Zayas, Slava Spomer. Spomer is undefeated as well. They're both 20-0. Super welterweight championship. Zayas is right there for a title shot. Maybe not a title shot, but he's right there for a big fight. He was almost going to fight Virgil Ortiz on February 22nd. They went with Madrimov instead, which, is a better fight. But, it's only so long until Zayas gets a big fight, because he's right there knocking on the door. I think he may be mandatory with one of the sanctions. I'm not sure. But he is such a good fighter, and he's a lot younger than a lot of the guys in that division. But, I feel like he's been battle-tested. He's 20-0. He's been fighting in 10-rounders for a while now. He's headlined on ESPN. Got a big support system around him. I say let's go. Let's just get him in there with a big fight. End of the year, I want to see him in there with another top contender at 154 pounds. I think that he'll come out on top tomorrow night, no doubt. Do I think he'll get the stoppage? Probably not, because he hasn't in his last couple fights, and Spomer is a big test. But I have no doubt the Zayas will still win. Main event: Keyshawn Davis, Dennis Baranchuk. He's a really good fight, 135 pounds. I think these guys are both in the top 7 of the division, potentially even top 5 the way you look at it, but very good 135 matchup. I have to think that I think that Keyshawn will win, but I think it's going to be a lot tougher than people are estimating. It's either going to be a very tough fight for him, or Keyshawn is just going to show levels in there, and he's just not going to let Baranchuk win a round at all. And I'm starting to think, before I was saying, Keyshawn after the racist stuff, like Keyshawn's going to be coming in hot, he's going to stop him. I'm not really feeling a stoppage tomorrow. I'm feeling it's going to go the distance. I could be wrong, but I'm just kind of feeling a distance. I'm feeling a Keyshawn Davis decision win to win his first world title. It's interesting, because Keyshawn says he's not interested in Undisputed. I think he's saying that because he fights in the same division as Shakur Stevenson. They're best friends. He's not going to want to fight Shakur. They said they're never going to fight, which I love. I don't think you should have to fight your friends. But, if you guys are both world champions in the same division, you probably shouldn't be thinking about Undisputed if you don't want to fight each other. So he's just putting that out there, like, I don't care about Undisputed. I'm not going to waste my time on it. I'm not going to set my mind on it. I'm not going to try and fight all the other champions, which I think every fighter's goal once they become world champion should be to unify. But, hey, if you don't want to fight your friend, then don't fight your friend. I think that Keyshawn will end up moving up before Shakur, maybe. I think he's bigger. So that's this weekend. That's on Valentine's Day, Friday evening. Prelims start at 5 p.m. on the East Coast, I believe, and then main card starts at 9 p.m. So I don't know. I can't remember if Jared Anderson is on the ESPN portion of the card. I don't believe that he is, but 9 p.m. is a pretty early start time for them on ESPN, which I like. Unfortunately, I will not be watching them or calling the fights on Twitter live as I usually like to do. I'm going to be out of town this weekend, all weekend, so I'm probably going to be really behind. So don't expect a lot of stuff from X. I'm going to get getting caught up throughout the weekend and probably won't have another episode till Tuesday. Maybe Monday if I'm lucky, but probably Tuesday. I'm going to need Monday to catch up on a lot of stuff. I'm going to try and see if I can watch Keyshawn and Baronchuk Saturday morning and then put some stuff up out about it, just that main event. But other than that, yeah, it's going to be – don't be expecting a lot of activity on my X this weekend as much as I am normally active on the weekends. All right, next card, Saturday. We've got three very good cards on Saturday, the best of which, or at least the biggest, I think, Jack Catterall, Arnold Barboza Jr. for the WBO Interim Super Lightweight World Title. So the winner of this will be mandatory for Teofimo Lopez. Do I think that they'll end up getting the chance to fight him? I don't know if they will, because I think that Teofimo is, you know, he's got a three-fight real season deal. I think that if they're able to get this, you know, if the Richardson-Hitchens fight doesn't happen, you know, this summer, I think that, yeah, we may see him fight the winner of this fight. If it does happen, then I think that we won't see it, because I think Teofimo's got one fight left at 140, then he's moving up to 147 in October to fight Boots Ennis, or the winner of Ennis Stanionis, whatever. So, you know, I don't know if that'll actually happen, but, I mean, hey, there's a very good chance that Tio just gets straight up upgraded to, or the winner of this, apologize, the winner of this gets upgraded to full world champion. You know, as of who I think wins this fight, you know, it's really hard to say. First of all, as much as I'm excited for this fight, because I think it's a very close and competitive fight, I think the fight itself is going to be very boring. Both guys are not the most exciting fighters. You know, as we saw the Jack Catterall promo, you know, the boring promo is very funny, but it's true. He's not a super exciting fighter, and neither is Barboza. They're both counterpunchers. They're both guys who fight on the back foot. They're both guys who don't throw a ton of punches, you know, and they win, and they're very good, but I don't know. I don't see this fight being the most entertaining. I think it'll go the full 12 rounds, but, you know, I'm not expecting a barn burner here. I think it's a very competitive match. I don't think it's going to be an all-out war. So just be prepared for that. But, yeah, I mean, we've got a very good fight there. As for who I think wins, I want to say Jack Catterall, but part of me feels like Barboza's got him in him. Got it in him. I'll say I'm going to pick Catterall, but do not be surprised if Barboza wins. I think that this is a 55-45 fight, maybe 60-40. Catterall's definitely the favorite. I have to think he'll probably edge it out, especially because he's the hometown kid. I don't know. I don't think he's from Manchester, but, you know, he's British. And I don't know. I just – Barboza hasn't been the most impressive fighter. And Catterall has had his flaws as well. But when it comes down to it, I do think Catterall is the better fighter. I can just see Barboza doing something similar to Jose Ramirez. You know, I did not think he was going to beat Ramirez. I thought it was a very similar odd situation to here. I thought it's a good fight, but Ramirez is definitely the favorite. I think he'll win. And Barboza totally outboxed him. So it could, the same thing could happen here, but, and also I could see Barboza being the more active fighter. We'll see, but I'm going to pick Catterall for now. Some good fights on the undercard as well. In the co-main event, you got Rhys Bellotti and Michael Gomez Jr. They fight for the British and Commonwealth Super Featherweight Championship. This fight was meant to be co-main for Catterall Progre in October, but Gomez got sick and pulled out literally last minute, like an hour before they were supposed to walk out, which is nuts. You know, so kind of surprised that they just rescheduled the same fight, you know, and still getting the opportunity. This is a tough one to call because Bellotti's looked very good as of recent, but he's 19-5, you know, so he's had a resurgence in his career, but he's beatable. Gomez is 21-1, so again, also has lost, but, you know, I'm not sure. This is a very, very close fight. I think Bellotti will win, and part of that factors into the fact that Gomez wasn't ready for it last time. I think that the hate is definitely doubled, and I think that Bellotti is somebody who's more battle tested in there, and I think that, you know, I mean, he's been fighting at this British level for longer. I don't know. I think that he's gonna pull it out of the bag, and I think that he's gonna, you know, I think he's gonna beat Gomez. By what? I'm not sure. I think that he could stop him. You know, Gomez hasn't been stopped. His first fight that he lost to a journeyman by decision. Bellotti has been stopped twice in his career, once by Ray Ford and another time by Ryan Doyle, you know, and then he's lost three other times by decision. So I think that it's possible. I'm going to say Bellotti will not knock him out, though, because Bellotti's last two fights, you know, both of his British title wins have been, you know, they've been by decision. So I'm going to go with Bilotti by decision as well. And I remember he's a good fighter, but he's not that super exciting. He had the great, great fight with Liam Dillon. But I remember his last fight where he fought Levi Giles was not great. So we'll see what happens. But I'm picking Bilotti. Also on that card, Zelfa Barrett and Jazza Dickens. Good fight. I think Zelfa Barrett will definitely win. I think he'll win by stoppage. After that, you know, I love the Ray Ford fight. Hopefully he can get in there, get a job done quick. And then April 12th fight, Ray Ford, because I think that's a brilliant fight. And then the other fight on the main card will be Pat McCormack and Robbie Davies Jr. Again, this is a very good fight by the Matchroom team. It's at welterweight. I have to think that McCormack will likely win this one. You know, I mean, Davies is definitely a big test for him. He's a very good fighter. But, you know, McCormack is one of those guys who just came through the amateur system and has just been very impressive in the pro game. He's only 6-0, and he's already in 12 rounders, already has a pro title, I believe. But, you know, it's just, I'm not sure. Not super exciting, though. I remember him not being very exciting when I watched his last fight. But very dominant style. And when you have a guy like Davies who's on the second half of his career, you know, usually guys like McCormack are able to deal with him. Do I think he'll stop him? I'm not sure about that. But I think McCormack will win the fight. You got some other good fighters on the card. William Corolla, very, very exciting prospect to watch. You know, he's really becoming a bit of a KO machine. He is 6-0 with 5 KOs. You know, so I'm expecting no different tomorrow night. Connor Tudsbury makes his pro debut in a 6-rounder. Aqib Fiaz returns in a 6-rounder as well. This is his first fight, actually, since losing to Reese Bilotti in that Commonwealth title fight a year and a half ago. Surprised he's just now coming back out. I feel like they had planned, for him to fight in June against Cain Baker, I believe, and then there was all that betting conspiracy that pulled him out. But Audie still hasn't come back since then. And then Alfie Middlemiss, I believe, will open up the card. He's 1-0, and that's a 4-round featherweight fight. So good card by Matchroom. Anything crazy? No, but that main card is very, very good. Lots of competitive, good fights on there. And then the other card that's going to be boxing-wise on that weekend, you know, Golden Boy, they do have Arnold Barboza in the main event of the Matchroom card, but they have their own cards. Oscar De La Hoya will not be in attendance. It'll be Oscar Duarte versus Miguel Madueno. Was meant to be Regis Progre. Progre got injured last minute. Had to pull out. Madueno steps in. You know, he is coming off of a decision loss to Keyshawn Davis in July. So, you know, I think he's coming up for 135. Duarte's a very good fighter. I have no doubt that Duarte will stop him. You know, I mean, hey, it's not an awful save by Golden Boy. I think that Madueno is a decent opponent, but it won't be that competitive. I think Duarte will beat the brakes off him. Darius Woljum returns as well. Very good fighter. Again, he's 13-0 with 11 knockouts. Last fought in November when he had a third-round stoppage win. You know, he had 4 fights last year. I hope that he has, you know, at least 3 this year. And, I mean, he's already in 10 rounders at 168. And I know his last one of his last fights is at 175, but he has since returned to 168. You know, I hope that he'll get a good win. And then they could push him, not for world titles yet, but get him some good opponents at the end of this year or next year. He's in the co-main event. Ricardo Sandoval returns. You know, very good fighter. He's at flyweight. I think he's a top 10 fighter at flyweight. You know, he had the very good win over Angel Acosta in July, where I remember that fight was very, very competitive. And I think that Acosta was winning. And then Sandoval had the late minute stoppage, 10 rounds in of the 10 round affair. And I can't remember, it was either a controversial stoppage or it was just like crazy how we stopped him, you know, right before the fight ended when he was down, like similar to Mirko Cuello's win. So I can't remember, but regardless, he's coming off a good win. I expect him to win as well, probably not by stoppage, just because from what I remember, he is a big stoppage winner. Maybe he will get the stoppage. He's 25-2, with 18 knockouts. The guy he's in with, Salito Henderson, is 10-1, you know. So I'm not sure what to think, but I actually do think Sandoval will get the stoppage for some reason. Kenneth Sims returns, 21-2-1 against Kendo Castaneda, who is 21-7. He just fought Elvis Rodriguez in September. And lost pretty much every round. So I think that this is a good opponent for Sims. It's just that I would have rather seen Duarte Sims in the main event. They were meant to make that fight on Latino night. Didn't happen for whatever reason. Sims got injured. Once Progre pulled out, I was like, yo, just make Sims the main event. That'd be a brilliant fight, but whatever reason didn't happen. I think Kenneth Sims will get another win tonight. He's not a big knockout puncher, but you know, Castaneda has, he's only been stopped twice. Yeah, I'm gonna say Sims gets it done by, I'm gonna say knockout, why not? And then opening up the card is Joel Arriarte, fantastic prospect. He had a ton of fights last year. He had five knockouts, 5 wins. You know, he's 5-0 in the pro game. He returns in a 6-rounder against a guy who's 19-23. So, you know, he's gonna get another knockout win likely. Really good prospect, one of my favorite in the sport right now. Yeah, so I'm excited for that. 6 fights on the prelims, including Daniel Garcia, Gael Cabrera, Fabian Guzman, some other good names. So should be a good night from Golden Boy. And then lastly, we'll talk about this a little bit. UFC returns to the Apex tomorrow night. It is Vegas 103, headlined by Jared Cannonier versus the what's his first name? Gregory Rodriguez. Rodriguez is unranked. Cannonier is number 7 in the middleweight division. You know, Cannonier is off a 2-fight losing streak. I don't know why. I kind of have a feeling that Rodriguez may upset him tomorrow night. I'm gonna pick Rodriguez. He's actually the favorite. I'm looking at it, so he's not. You know, it's not an upset, but he's the unranked guy. I think he's gonna take Cannonier's spot. Calvin Kattar versus Yusuf Zalal in the co-main event is a featherweight fight. That's a brilliant fight. Kattar is number 10 ranked. Zalal is unranked, but Zalal is a pretty decent favorite. I think Zalal will likely take that one. You know, not a ton of other big names on the card. The Bonfim brothers, the Brazilians, they both return. Jared Gordon is on the card as well. Angela Hill fights on the featured prelim. She's ranked with women's strawweight. Also on the main card, you've got Edmund Shahbazyan and Dylan Butka in a middleweight bout. Like I said, lightweight bout, Ismael Bonfim and Nazim Sadikov. Another middleweight bout between Rodolfo Vieira and Andrei Petroski. And then a featherweight bout between Conor Matthews and Jose Delgado. 17 fights in total on the docket. I think it's all on ESPN Plus. Should be a pretty good card, I think. Again, I won't be able to cover a lot of it live, but I really like Jared Cannonier, but I think that he's on a rough run, and I think Rodriguez will beat him tomorrow night. Yeah, so those are all the cards this weekend. 4 big cards. I'm excited for them. Now let's get into some of the news, because we got some big news to discuss for this that's going on in the last like 2 days. All right, let's talk about some of these bigger headlines. First up, Teofimo Lopez reportedly going to headline a card in Alcatraz in June or July. They're working on finalizing and no opponent as of yet. I would assume the plan is Richardson Hitchens to unify. If not Richardson Hitchens, likely the winner of Jack Catterall Honor Barboza, which we talked about earlier on today's episode. I hope it's Hitchens, just because I think that's a really good fight. Those are the two best champions at 140, in my opinion. And then you also get the winners of Pueyo Martin and which other fight? Oh, Valenzuela Russell. Hopefully they can unify on a PBC pay-per-view later this year. Not as the main event, of course, don't worry. Or just a PBC card of any sort. I hope we just get more PBC cards in general. Anyways, yeah, this is really interesting. Because Turkey talked about wanting to do more unique locations. We know they're going to do Times Square, it sounds like. Sounds like they want to do Alcatraz. The one that I want to see personally is the Colosseum in Rome, because that actually makes sense. You know, I think that it'd look cool. You know, it's like the historic gladiator arena. You know, and boxing is modern day gladiators. That's the fight I want to see. I want to see them, you know, go over to the Colosseum. I don't know if you can do that. I don't know how stable it is. Also, because you can have people there. If it's possible, if they can get people in there, if it's safe to have, you know, like actual people in there, that'd be awesome. That'd be so cool. I don't hate this idea of Alcatraz. It's just kind of weird. It's also a national park. Usually they'll shut down national parks to go do this. It's like a museum now. You know, I think it'd be cool, but also you wouldn't be allowed to have people there, really, I don't think. You can't really. How are you going to do that? Make bleachers? It doesn't make any sense. And you're gonna do it in the summer, which, you know, okay. But I mean, I don't know. We'll see. It's interesting, you know. So, but apparently, it's gonna happen this summer. I like the idea of doing this, you know. It probably will not be a big card. It'll probably be a very good card because it's still Ring Magazine Riyadh season. But I'd hope this isn't a pay-per-view. But yeah, and this will be the first of a 3-fight deal Teofimo has with Turki Alsik. It'll be this one, and then likely October and February, where he'll be in that 4-man tournament with Boots and Ryan Garcia and Devin Haney at welterweight. So, you know, this is very interesting. Very excited to see how this story develops. it's weird. I feel like we're hearing so many about these Ring magazine cards and stuff. We still don't have like a lot of official announcements. You know, like, I feel like a lot of the reality season stuff, it's all like, oh, the Ring is breaking the news, but we haven't yet gotten an announcement like press conference or poster or anything for Eubank Ben. Not even a date confirmed technically for the Garcia and Haney card. You know, the Canelo Skull is still waiting, like, an official, like, announcement. It's all been confirmed, but no announcement yet. So hopefully they do some press conferences soon. Alexander Usyk said that he wants two more fights before he retires. That's it. No more. Two. And, dude, this is the perfect plan. Because he has given enough to the sport. He's older. You know, he's undefeated. He's completed boxing. I think he's a two-time Olympic gold medalist. He is undisputed cruiserweight champion, undisputed heavyweight champion. And the fights that he wants, he said the winner of Dubois-Parker, perfect. That's exactly who we should fight next. And then for the second one, he was like, why don't we do a show fight with Alex Pereira? Dude, book it. They're like the same weight, too. You know, I mean, Pereira walks around at like 230, you know, and Usyk's like 220. That's pretty similar for heavyweight. So, like, I would love that, man. I think that Usyk should win, but Pereira is also a kickboxer, not just like a wrestler, you know. And, I mean, Pereira has power. Like, insane power. So I think that'd be really interesting. You know, Pereira is one of those guys that he's such a big superstar now, and I wouldn't mind seeing him cross over to boxing and do something big. You know, I think that he's one of the guys, you know, some of the fighters you can cross over and you'll fight, like Francis Ngannou fought Tyson Fury, Anthony Joshua, and some guys like Nate Diaz fought Jake Paul. You know, I think that Pereira is more of the Usyk opponent than the Jake Paul opponent. I know Jake called him out, but yeah, I'd rather see Usyk-Pereira. So that's what I want to see. I like that plan. I don't know if I really want to see Usyk Pereira that bad. I just don't know how high my interest level is. But, hey, if they have it, why not? I'll absolutely watch it. I would love that. Be awesome. Some announcements, both rematches. Ben Whitaker and Liam Cameron 2, as well as William Zepeda, Tevin Farmer. I'll talk about the Whitaker Cameron 2 first. This will be the BP Pulse Live on Easter Sunday, April 20th. We were hearing April 19th. We now know it's going to be on Sunday the 20th, which I like more. They did a Easter card last year with Wardley and Clark. This year it's Whitaker and Cameron. I like that. I love that they're running this fight right back. Yeah, I think Whitaker's going to have a serious chip on his shoulder this time, and I think that he'll win. I really do. Because yeah, he was not looking good against Cameron, but he knows how to solve it, and Whitaker is still the better fighter. He's the younger fighter. You know, and usually when one guy is fighting below, Cameron was fighting his best and Whitaker was fighting subpar for him. So I think Whitaker will win this time. His first main event, crazy. Should be a good card. Should be a good fight. The card we already know. It's going to be co-main event, Frazier Clark versus Ebenezer Tete, which I'm like, all right. Tete, if you remember, fought Dillian White in December. Not a great performance from him. He actually did okay. You know, I think he may have won a round there, but White had a terrible performance as well. It's just a funny opponent. Every fighter on this card, I feel like, it's kind of a funny fight. You know, I mean, I don't mind it. I think it's a good, you know, it's a solid name. I don't know if it's really a name, but, you know, I mean, he had a big fight recently against Dillian White, or a notable fight, you could say. And, you know, so he gets to put that name on his resume. It's a good comeback opponent for Clark. Come back in a 10-rounder still. You know, knock him out in a few rounds, look good. And then hopefully get back to British title. I'd like to see him fight Solomon Dacres after this. Would be nice. They're both coming off big first-round knockout losses. I'd like to see him fight. And if he gets past Dacres, I'd like to see the winner of that fight. Probably fight the winner of Adelaide and TKV for the British title. You know, I mean, they've got a really good British heavyweight scene over there. Not just world level, but, you know, British title level as well. Also on that card, we have Lee Cutler versus Sam Eggington. I think that's a pretty good fight. Eggington has a lot of losses, and I have no doubt that Cutler will win the fight, but I think it could be pretty entertaining. You know, I think that's a pretty good matchup. And then the other one is Tyler Denny will return against Elvis Ahorga, I believe is how you say it, who just fought Callum Simpson. Very, very fun character. You know, did all right in there for a few rounds, so I think this is good. Again, another comeback opponent for Tyler Denny, who's also coming off a pretty bad knockout loss. My only question is Denny moving up to 168, or is Ahorga moving down? We'll find out. But I think it's an okay card. You know, decent matchups, at least, you know, like some good matchmaking for what they're trying to do with each of these fights. Should be a pretty entertaining card on April 20th. March 29th, as I just mentioned, will be William Zepeda and Tevin Farmer. We knew this was going to happen. It had already been reported. To be honest, I don't really see the need for this rematch too much. I know it was a close fight, but I thought Zepeda definitely won. I don't think that he really has to right the wrong. I think that he's just going to beat him more convincingly this time, maybe even stop him. It was a really good fight last time, but I just don't know how much we need it. Zepeda was dropped by Farmer. I remember that. But part of me is just kind of like upset because I'm like, dude, you ruined your chances of getting a super fight with Shakur, or not necessarily a super fight, but a big fight in a world title fight against Shakur because you fought Farmer and because you took that time and you got injured. You're not going to wait for your title shot now. You're still interim. You're still mandatory. Now you're going to go and you're going to fight Farmer again, risk it all again, and then have to wait until summer to fight Shakur or whoever champion. To me, I just think it sucks. Like, they're laying his title shot so much. I think this fight is just unnecessary. I like that he gets the homecoming in Mexico. Interesting that it seems like Golden Boy is the main promoter behind this. I can't remember the last time Golden Boy promoted a show outside of the U.S., but, you know, I like to see branching out. Hopefully it's a decent card. Knowing Golden Boy, we won't know until about a week and a half before who's fighting on the undercard. But, yeah, I'm excited still. William Zepeda is one of my favorite fighters in the sport. I think he's so entertaining. But, like I said, this is for the interim championship again. My main hope is that this will be 12 rounds. Last time it was a 10-rounder because they'd already signed the fight to be 10 rounds because Farmer wanted that. And then it was like, all right, well, we want to make this the WBC interim title. Farmer said, okay, can we still have it 10 rounds? I'm like, well, that was a little bit different circumstances. It was still stupid. But now that we've, you know, like officially gotten to, you know, now this fight is being made as an interim title shot before just being made in the interim added on to it. I want to see this be 12 rounds. There's no way that it has a world title implications. It's still technically a championship fight with only 10 rounds. I think that's silly. So hopefully they correct the wrong and make it the full 12 3-minute rounds. Bam Rodriguez and Puma Martinez are in talks for a unification in the spring. I love this. It'd be for the WBC, WBA, and Ring Magazine world titles at 115 pounds super flyweight. I like the sound of this a lot. We also know, and I'll just talk about it now because, you know, same division, but Fumbalele Kafu and Chocolatito have already an agreement in place for Managua, Nicaragua after April. No date, but we just know it's going to be after April, and they're going to fight for Kafu's, I believe he's the WBO 115-pound champion. We know there's potential for Bam to fight either of those guys. We now know that he's going to be They're looking to make the Martinez fight, which I like. I do feel kind of bad for Ioka, you know, just because Martinez beat Ioka, supposed to do a rematch. Martinez gets sick, and then Ioka gets pushed out of his world title shot. But, you know, I mean, hey, you lost. Ioka should go get another fight in the interim, you know, and then we'll see Kafu and Chocolatito fight. Hopefully Bam and Martinez fight. I think that that is the best fight in the division. Those are definitely the top two fighters. Winner of that probably fight Ioka because he's number three. You know, I think it's a really good fight. Moves to unify the division. Gives Bam a really good opponent to get in there with. I believe Martinez is undefeated as well. I think this is a really good move for Matchroom to make. I really like this fight. I think it makes a lot of sense. And, yeah, it's a big fight for him. All right, let's move into some other headlines. You know, I'll try and move quicker through these. First off, Joe Gallagher, the British boxing trainer, has just revealed that he's been diagnosed with stage 4 liver and bowel cancer. That's awful. You know, I hope that he can beat it. You know, I'm sure that he's a tough guy. He's a great trainer. Hopefully he can pull through. And, yeah, praying for him. Zerto Dorticos looks like it's going to be April 19th. I can't remember if there was a location attached to that. I would guess it'd be somewhere in California. But, you know, Zerto's got to fight Uniel Dorticos. He's just got to get the mandatory out of the way before we can unify with Jayo Pitaya and we can get the number one and number two cruiserweights in the ring together for three of the four belts. And then the winner of that can unify and go undisputed with the winner of Badu Jack, Ryan Rosicky. But yeah, I'm happy they're getting this fight out of the way in April. It's a little bit, it's actually not that long. I forget that Zerto only fought in November, so a 5-month in between fight is not long at all. I just kind of wish that he could have gotten it done in like March, and then we could have gotten the Opataya fight sooner, because I think the plan is for them to fight in October, which in terms of Zerto's timetable, yeah, that works fine. Fight November, April, October. Look at Opetai, he fought in January. He's going to sit 9 months out, which Opetai usually does not sit that long out of the ring. He usually fights every 4 to 5 months. So, you know, I mean, I hate it for Opetai to sit out that long, but he can't afford to take another mandatory. Not because he won't win, but because then they're going to, if he takes a voluntary, he's going to get ordered for a mandatory right after that, and they won't let him fight Zerto. So he's just got to wait. Let Zerto and Dorticos fight. I'm sure Zerto will win that, and then we unify finally. What else? Manny Pacquiao Promotions locked down the Willibaldo Garcia and Rene Calixto rematch. It's likely for April in Mexico. They fought in December to a draw. And I may be wrong because a lot of the titles in the lower divisions are vacant right now, but I think that was for 115 pounds. I think that was for the IBF belt. So, I didn't see that fight. I heard it was pretty good, but it was, you know, a draw. So glad that they're going to run that one immediately back. And, it looks like Sean Gibbons revealed that MP Promotions has gotten it. So we heard more about this Canelo Skull undercard that apparently Arislandi Lara and Yoenli Hernandez had potential to be on that card, which I was a little bit surprised by because that's like a full PBC fight. They're both with PBC, I believe. But then Hernandez said it was false and that he wants to fight Shane Mosley Jr., who's number two in the rankings, instead of fighting Lara, this doesn't make any sense to me. Not in that, why are you ducking Lara? It's just that I feel like he very recently called out Lara for an all-Cuban fight, and now he's saying, oh no, I want to fight Mosley. First off, Hernandez has only had 7 fights. He never fought somebody who's really, like, top contender. I actually prefer the Mosley fight for him. I think that fight makes more sense, and I think that Lara should fight, you know, another champion or somebody like Eubank. I'm not sure, but I will want to, when it comes time for mandatory, I want him to fight Hernandez. I definitely want to see that fight, but he's only had 7 fights. I think it does kind of make more sense realistically for Hernandez and Mosley to fight first. And then the winner of that to go on and fight the champion for the WBA, which is Arislandi Lara. So, yeah, it doesn't look like Lara Hernandez will happen on May 3rd. Maybe we can get Hernandez Mosley, but we'll see. In a way, Picasso potentially could be replacing Canelo in Vegas for Cinco de Mayo weekend. I don't think that this is true, first of all. I would love it because we're hearing that Times Square is going to be on, they're going to do that one on May 2nd, and then we'll get Canelo Skull on May 3rd. I don't think this is going to happen for a few reasons. Number one, we just heard it's going to be in June. Number two, I don't think that Cinco de Mayo in Vegas is that necessary. We're still going to get a Cinco de Mayo fight here in U.S. on primetime. I don't think it's necessary to push for it to be in Vegas. And I also don't think that, I don't think that Turkey would want that, because we know that Turkey he works with Top Rank and he works with Inoue very much. And I don't think that he's gonna be happy with Inoue or Top Rank if they go direct competition with Canelo Skull. And I don't think that Top Rank wants to be in direct competition with Canelo, because nobody will watch the Inoue fight. I'm sorry, but nobody will if Canelo is fighting. Maybe some people will because it'd be free, but I think it's stupid to put, seriously, two of the best fighters in the world, 2 undisputed championships on the same night at the same time. I call total BS. I don't think that's happening at all. Luis Alberto Lopez will return to Mexico March 29th. So at the time that this got reported or actually announced, it's been confirmed, but I thought that this was going to be potentially on the same card as William Zepeda. We now know that's not the case. But it's interesting that he's returning to Mexico. No word from Top Rank. I think that they may have dropped him, which is odd because he was a long-standing fighter with them, was a very long-standing champion. You know, he had been champion for like 4 or 5 title defenses. I could be wrong, but I think it's been a long time. I feel like he'd been champion for like 2 years before he lost to Leo. 1 loss and they just cut him. So I don't know, but it appears that he's no longer with them and is on a big comeback trail, which I thought Lopez was number one at 126 pounds before the Leo loss and was about to go into unifications. Loses to Leo, who's a very good fighter again, and is now pushed all the way back down the ladder. No, I thought that Lopez could have had another top fight and then immediately right back in the title shot, and he still could be, but we'll see. Top Rank, after, you know, being reported that they will no longer be going ahead with ESPN, ESPN is not renewing. They are now in discussions with Max and DAZN. This doesn't surprise me. We know that they want multiple outlets, which I don't love the idea on. I don't think that they have the stable to do that, but hey, go for it. I think DAZN will surely be one of those, if not the main and only one. I think that if they were to do multiple, I think Max is one as well. I think Max could be the main one because Top Rank is, you know, an American-based company, and they're not somebody who's super big on, you know, they'll still sign with Sky Sports or somebody like that for their international cards. But, you know, they want to have a very big platform to be on in the States. And Max is definitely a bigger platform overall for casual, you know, TV viewers than DAZN is. DAZN is really only for boxing. Max, 100 million people have it. So I would not be surprised if they have end up on both platforms or just one or the other. As for what happens with ESPN, I saw something that maybe Turkey and Dana White's TKO League could fill in. You know, we know that Dana White, UFC, is on ESPN. They've got a very good relationship. And I think ESPN could probably, they still want boxing, I'd bet. And they probably believe in Dana White. And His Excellency and saying, yeah, we got this new league we're cooking up. The thing is, I don't think that they're going to have a lot of big fighters on that in that league. I could be wrong, but I would have to think that they're going to try and get a lot of younger and new fighters who aren't already eaten up by the big promotions. And, you know, then we're going to get all these smaller fighters. I'm like, you can't really put those guys on ESPN. There wouldn't be title level fights, I don't think. So we'll see what happens, but that's a possibility, I think. Alfredo Santiago and Nestor Bravo have been added to the Ciprián Matias, Gabriela Valenzuela card. You know, as we know that these guys are fighting in a 140 IBF eliminator title fight. You know, Santiago and Bravo, I think actually may both be at 140. They're not fighting each other, but they are going to fight, I think, both for, you know, other lower level regional pro titles. But both good fighters, both good Puerto Rican fighters. Looks like we're going to get a pretty good card on March 1st, so I'm excited about that. Raymond Murataya, Zaur Abdullayev is now looking like it's set for May 10th in San Diego on ESPN and ESPN+. You know, we were hearing that this fight was looking likely for April 5th in Vegas. That appears like it's no longer the case, you know, and it'll now be May 10th, which I don't mind. The reasoning is that Abdullayev is Muslim and he'd be going through Ramadan, which ends, I think, end of March. So he'd only have like a week or so when he's not fasting before fighting. So you don't really want to put him through that. So I think that we're probably going to see him that fight on May 10th, which is I'm all cool with. I understand that fully. You know, apparently the April 5th card is still on the table. The planned co-main event was Landolfo Delgado versus Elvis Rodriguez. And that may now be upped to main event, which is that really a main event fight? You know, I mean, it was going to be the Palm Resorts Casino in Vegas, which isn't a huge venue. They could probably sell some good tickets. That's definitely not an ESPN headliner, but it could be on ESPN+. I don't think that that's necessarily like a usual Top Rank main event, but they've really just got to get some fights going, man. I mean, I don't know what is going on, but I feel like Top Rank have just not that. Seriously, they've announced February 14th, which is this week, and March 29th. Those are the only U.S. shows that they have announced from January to March they're doing. Where, I mean, like, you look at last year, I think that they had in the U.S., you know, like, main ESPN shows, I think that they had four, I want to say. Yeah. Two in February and two in March. In addition to the Beterbiev card in January, which was still like a full Top Rank and Eye of the Tiger card, but it just wasn't in the U.S., but you really should count that. So, I don't know. They've still had some, like, international cards. You know, we had Inoue. We're going to have Nakatani in February. You know, the Jalalev or the planned Jalalev fight. Beterbiev and Bivol are fighting. I mean, they've got a lot of their guys are fighting, and they're broadcasting a lot of those fights. It's just that, like, the actual Top Rank cards, there's not a lot. So, I don't mind Delgado Rodriguez being its own card, and I think that that's a really good fight. I think that's a really good fight for Top Rank to make, and it's probably one of the ones that's a loser goes home. I really like that one because I think both those guys need to step up. Deontay Wilder and Curtis Harper is off due to a financial dispute with BOK Prime. Don't mind that at all. I had no interest in it. I want to see Wilder return, but come on. Harper is 18-11. That's just such a stupid fight. It's just so unnecessary. I just had no interest. Apparently, Wilder still plans to return in the first half of 2025. Make it a good fight, make it a big fight, and make it not on BOK Prime. Make it on, like, you know, a Saudi card or at least, like, a bigger platform. personally wouldn't mind the Chisora fight or the Ngannou fight or the White fight. Those four guys, I think, are all – I don't think that White will be fighting any of them for a while because he's going to fight Joyce. But I feel like Chisora, Wilder, and Ngannou, at least, they're all kind of circling each other, and I'd like to see any of those fights. The British Boxing Board of Control have ordered some fights today. I got this from Everything Boxing on X. They're very good. Kieran Conway and Jerome Warburton have been ordered for the vacant British middleweight title. It's a great fight. It's a really good fight. I like that one. I think Conway wins. We know Warburton and Shaquille Thompson were just talking recently. I also really like that fight. You know, maybe you do Conway, Warburton, and Shaquille Thompson fights the winner of that. Sam Gilley, Louis Green 2 for the British 154 title is apparently going to be on June 7th. You know, this fight was made for October. Green got injured, so they brought in Jack McGann. Gilley stopped McGann in, I think, four rounds. Now it looks like it'll be – they're going to rematch for in June 7th, which looks like there's going to be a Queensberry card planned for that date. Be interesting to see if that's another Your Call card. But with this DAZN deal, I don't know if we're going to get those smaller cards. I think we're just going big time, which is awesome. But yeah, it looks like we'll get a Queensberry card June 7th. Kona Walker and Liam Taylor have been ordered for the British welterweight title. Walker's the champion. I'm not too familiar with Liam Taylor. Maybe I am, and I'm just forgetting his name. But yeah, whatever. I would really like to see Kona Walker and Ekao Essiman. Win or lose against Josh Taylor, I think Walker Essiman is a phenomenal fight. Like, dude, oh my God, I'm just thinking about that fight. That's one of the best fights Britain can make right now. I mean, that is just brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. Just full war. Man, give that one to me. And then lastly, Junaid Boston and Bilal Fawaz have been ordered for a rematch for the vacant English super welterweight title. They had a really good fight in January 31st. You know, fought to a draw, had to come back, had to come next. We knew it was going to come next, but the BBBFC have now put forward their support and said, yeah, we need this one to happen next. So it's good news. Only got a few more points here. Imam Khatayev will return on the Kambosos-Jordan card. It's good. You know, he's with Eye of the Tiger, I know, but he's been fighting a lot in Australia. I think he even had a fight in Russia. But, yeah, he's a good fighter. He's, like, really highly ranked at 175 pounds. I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up getting some kind of eliminator in the next 12 to 24 months. You know, really good fighter. So cool that he's going to be back out. Hopefully, since it's a matchroom card, we're going to get that broadcast, even if it's on the prelims. That card is looking like it's going to be really big, so I'm super excited for that. Ilya Topuria says that the Islam Makhachev fight is in the works. I don't know. I mean, this fight would be phenomenal. I don't know if I really need it right now. I feel like Topuria's got his own business to deal with. Islam doesn't have a lot, but he's got some good fights to make. Like, Armin's still there. Charles is definitely there. And Ilya's got guys like Volk. He's got Diego Lopez. He got Movsar Evloev. Like, it just doesn't make sense for me to, you know, like, rush this fight. Like, Topuria has so much good work to do at 145. Like, don't run up to 155. You know, that fight will happen one day. I think it will. So, let's do it. I just think that Ilya's worried about Islam moving up before he can get to lightweight. But, yeah, I mean, it'll be a great fight. I just don't know if I need it next. If it does happen next, I won't complain. It's a brilliant fight. I just think that I'd rather see them both clean up their divisions first. Last point, Paddy the Batty, he revealed his plan that he has. He made this plan for himself, but says he wants a top eight opponent for UFC 314 in Miami. Good that he's going to return because he does not fight enough. I would like to see that as well. Top five opponent in October at Abu Dhabi. Likely there's going to be a pay-per-view in Abu Dhabi in October, I believe. He'd feature on that in a top five opponent, and then wants a title shot in 2026. So he thinks that he's got two more fights, two more wins, and then he gets a title shot. I don't think that Paddy – I don't know if Paddy will win both those fights. I think that he's good. I don't know if he's going to, like, be good enough to get a title shot. I kind of see him similar to Ian Garry just in, like, you know, his personality and how successful he can be. I think Ian Garry will get a title shot. I just don't know if Paddy's going to get – a title shot without losing those fights. I think he's got a few more fights in him. I think that he loses before he ends up getting the title shot one day. But you know, hey, he wants to be more active. He wants to fight big, good fighters, competitive fights. I love that. So hopefully this plan comes to fruition, and, you know, best of luck to him because he's a really entertaining fighter and he definitely needs to fight more often. And 314 looks like it's going to be massive. I can't even remember all the stuff that's on that card, but once it starts to get fully rolled out and revealed, like, I just know we're going to have another, like, 311 situation. We're just looking at it like, oh, my Lord. Yeah, that's all I have for today. Thank you so much for listening. like I said, probably won't be another episode for a couple of days. I'm going to be behind this weekend. Still follow me on X, but I really will not be active. I'm going to be way behind on the fights. I'm going to go underground. I'm just trying not to get spoiled what happens because I don't like to watch fights knowing who wins. But yeah, thank you for listening. I will try and post some on X this weekend, and I'll be back probably Tuesday, maybe Monday night if we get really lucky, but probably Tuesday with episode 18, which will break down whatever news has come out and all the big fights that happened this weekend. Thanks for listening. Peace out.